It's a sound clip.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday. I don't know, what the fuck is today? March? Sometime in March.
Something.
International Women's Day.
This is Pure Decking for International Women's Day, apparently. Don't know what that is. Sounds like an Australian fruit. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out just how rigged the game is, and reminding you that we all know the darkness has consumed you. I'm Marps, and tonight I'm drinking a screwdriver. Using a what?
No, I'm just thinking about you fixing a screwdriver.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one's made with Lukskoja vodka. If I said that correctly, it's a Polish potato vodka. It's all right on its own, but it really is better when you. It is a day for international women. Hire an Asian hooker today. Cykros with the win. And I guess Tropicana, if anybody really wants to know. What are you drinking?
I was going to have a joke about Whammon, but Cykros got it. Yeah. Well done, Cykros.
Madman.
I'm drinking a Dos Equis.
Cool. And we have Syntax. Syntax, tonight, what are we drinking?
So I have a 2011 Graham's Reserve Port paired with Velveeta shells and cheese with Hormel chili dumped into it.
I still say that sounds really good.
It honestly is. Like, and so the best part is they sell these individual serving size of Velveeta shells and cheese that, like, you put water in, you throw it in the microwave for like 3 minutes, right?
Sure.
And then they sell these individual, like, cup size chili things that you throw in for a minute. And the Velveeta shells and cheese cup is just big enough that you can plop the whole chili cup into and mix it all up. And it's fucking amazing.
Bachelor Chow. Now, it'll give you diabetes.
Now let me guess. This was discovered 3 a.m. drunk as fuck.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, because I was drunk, so I was like, oh yeah, shells and cheese, but it takes like 3.5 minutes to microwave, and when you're that drunk, you don't have that long of a memory. So you put it in and you start making it, and then you're like, oh, you know what sounds good? Chili. So you grab it and you open it up and you go to open your microwave and you're like, there's something in there. And you look and you're like, oh yeah, I was making mac and cheese, and you're like, oh shit, I already opened this chili. Well, fuck it, I'm eating them both. Like, and greatness was born.
Winning.
That was really good.
So let's go ahead and move into this first article. This was all over the place, but I've got TechCrunch's article here. All of Oculus Rift's headsets have stopped working due to an expired certificate. In the fucking firmware. Yeah, I was laughing at this for like an hour when I saw it before.
All of them.
Someone at Oculus screwed up pretty badly today. An expired certificate appears to have soft-bricked the company's VR headsets, with users still unable to fire up software on the devices and no word of an incoming fix from the company. Slight retcon, Oculus did actually figure out a patch and release it. They weren't certain they were going to be able to, though. They were talking about having to ship new headsets to everybody to get the firmware flashed.
That would have killed the company.
Yeah.
Like that. And honestly, this might tank the company.
Issues were first reported several hours ago on Reddit, where a post on the topic has already garnered hundreds of comments. Problem seems to have resulted from Oculus failing to update an expired certificate with the update, which is now leaving users with an error message saying the system cannot reach Oculus Runtime Service. so we'll come back to that. The embarrassing issue has left the company's flagship device unusable. This comes as the company continues to deliver major software updates that it announced at its most recent developer conference. The issue is a bummer to the gamers who aren't able to play the titles they purchased until the issue is resolved, but it's a much less forgivable issue for commercial users of the headset. Oculus co-founder Nate Mitchell confirmed on Twitter that there was an issue affecting the company's Rift headset, and they're working on it. We've reached out to Oculus for details. Some users are reporting they've been able to get things back up and running by messing with their system clock. Yeah, okay, that. Yeah, I see that. But generally, this is a bad solution and often screw up a lot of things, so it's probably best to wait for a patch from Oculus. Oculus staff for the company's forum further confirmed the issue, apologizing on behalf of the company. Our teams apologize for any inconvenience they may be causing you and appreciate your patience while we work on a resolution. So, fairly short article, and Oculus does now have a patch you can download to correct it. But earlier in the day, they thought that you wouldn't, or they weren't certain they were going to be able to soft patch it. So
a couple of things here.
Yeah.
So in the article, it says update. Companies confirmed that the problem is a result of an issue with our software certification.
Yep.
Users are not happy.
No really? Shit.
Are you sure the users aren't happy?
I'm sure there's some parents somewhere who are like, oh, it's broken, G. That's just so bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, how do you even let that happen?
Would you like an answer of how this happens?
Yes.
This happens because you put so much fucking tracking in your software that it can't even fucking run if it can't talk to your web servers. And, oh, oops, we put a certificate in the thing, and everybody forgot it was in the flipping firmware. So now you can't even talk to the servers to confirm that the thing should be licensed and able to run. This is why cloud-dependent devices are a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and then the other thing, speaking of messing with your system clock to make shit run, I got really mad. So I bought a bunch of printer cartridges at a company I was working for. And so did you know that fucking printer cartridges expire?
Yes.
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 Okay. Do you know how to get around that?
Yeah, it depends on the cartridge. You either set the clock on the computer back to a time when the little chip in the cartridge doesn't believe it's expired anymore, or, you know, if it's dried up, you drip a little bit of a distilled water in there.
Yeah.
Or take a paperclip and push the little button at the end. The one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Certain ones, if the contacts don't work, it'll just work.
Yeah.
Oh. Shit, I didn't know that.
Depends on the printer. Some won't work at all if you do that.
Yeah, when your black ink says it's still half full but won't work. Yeah, just push the paperclip. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Now, granted, this was a quick fix because we were printing out this 3,000-page document. It was all policies and procedures, right? So, and then all of a sudden, it was like midnight rolls around, all the fucking printers stop. Just everything fucking stops, and I got all these error messages like, "Your ink has expired. Buy new ones from HP now." And I'm like, "You motherfucker!" I was so mad. So I may have really fucked shit up because I reverted our print server, which did other things. You know, it wasn't just a print server, but
you rolled back a domain controller, didn't you?
Yeah, basically.
How much fun was that to clean up?
it was a major pain in the ass, but I was told by the owner of the company that this had to be out by the next morning because there may have been a government agency coming to audit our policies and procedures the next day. I've worked for some sketchy companies in the past. Like,
I know the feeling.
I'm just going to put that out there now.
Can you please shred all those documents by 5 p.m. on Friday?
Yeah, well, those are way better. Because it's not, hey, can you shred these? It's like, can these disappear, preferably with fire?
You think you could go in and backdate a lot of that stuff for us?
So here's the thing. We're just going to need you to go and sit over here and do these useless audits. We're also going to need you to sign some papers. Don't read them.
Yeah, fuck that one.
And my absolute favorite is no, you can't shred those. That'll leave evidence.
You need to burn them.
Yeah.
No, they just need to disappear. So that's when, you know, people ask about the spot with the dead grass in the back of the factory. Anyways,
it's like, this is where the hobo's buried.
Hobo and a whole bunch of really bad books. Anyways,
so I did find out that if you take a big, like, 5S, so 5-cell LiPo battery,
mm-hmm.
it's like a 2,000 milliamp pack.
Sure.
And say it's thrown at like 100 miles an hour into a brick wall.
The lithium will rupture and we'll get a fantastic shower of sparks and flame.
Amazing fire. But when that then falls into a dumpster,
it's still fire, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. I may have completely lost a quadcopter that way.
I having boiled a battery on the top of my quadcopter, I believe you.
Yeah,
that was scary when you go to change batteries and it's boiling in your hand. So, oh, God. Yeah. You throw that very far.
Yeah. I was doing some acro and I hit a wall real fucking hard. And I was like, oh, I think I broke it. And then it fell in. And of course, I'm flying behind a building, so it falls into a dumpster. And I'm like, ah, God damn it. And I look in and I'm like, nope. I'm not going in there. That's literally a death trap.
It's like, it looks like hell. Let's not put our hands in it.
I did take pictures, though, because I'm like, oh, I can make GIFs out of these.
So, but yeah, I mean, this whole idea that your hardware cannot work without an internet connection. I mean, I get it for cell phones and some things like that, right? But most of your cell phones, you can put them in airplane mode, and a lot of the shit still works. And if your apps don't work without an internet connection, you might be using the wrong apps. You know, I really like the games that still work with airplane mode on.
Yeah. So,
but the, like, I have a Razer Orb Weaver, and this thing drives me absolutely up the fucking wall because you cannot run the software without a Razer account. It's like, good God, why? I could have spared $5,000 to save out the flipping profiles for the thing on a hard drive. So, but I mean, it's the same thing with the flipping Oculus. I mean, it's, oh, it has to connect to Facebook servers. Oh, the cert expired. No, it just doesn't work. Come on.
Yeah, well, the Xbox won't.
Yeah.
Like, the new Xbox One won't work unless you have an internet connection.
I haven't bought an Xbox since the original Xbox, when you could, you know, actually put a big old hard drive in it and copy games to it and, you know, turn it into a really useful piece of equipment.
Yeah.
A lot of people still have those. Mine didn't survive a move, unfortunately.
I really wish I had one, because I've been looking, because I still have this really awesome original Xbox game that I really want to play, and I can't.
Actually, the best example of a modded Xbox, I think Madman has. You still have that Xbox, Madman?
Yes, I do, and it still works.
Yeah, that's the best example of a modded one I ever did, because that thing is made out of like two broken Xboxes and like the best compilation of hard drive we ever put together for the thing.
Yeah, and it was all soft patched. Used MechWarrior to bypass the BIOS.
Yeah, I did.
Oh yeah, that was a fairly common.
It wasn't hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now getting shit on the hard drive without, you know, after the first modded Xbox, it was easy. But you know, the first time I had this Pentium 3 computer that I think I got from Lee. And it only worked for like a month because all the caps on it were dying and leaking. But it worked enough because it happened to have the right motherboard chipset for me to be able to get the Xbox working with whatever the hacked up Red Hat distro was. You know, just enough to get the bootloader on it, right? And then from that point forward, you were able to get it in an Xbox, and I could just clone that drive whenever I needed to and just use a little utility to change the serial number. Anyways, internet connected, required hardware that just doesn't work if those company servers aren't around is fucking dumb. Because, what if Facebook cancels Oculus next year? What happens to all these headsets? You hope the developers will be nice and release a patch so that they'll keep working. But, if the company's already bankrupt, what are the chances of that?
Yeah, well, at that point, it's going to be some fucking kid is going to be like, okay, so this is what I did. Like, I spent 73 hours jumpering things, and I figured out here's the output, this is what it's doing, and starts throwing things on the internet.
It'll be the DVD John all over again. But, of course, then Facebook will sue him because it's like, that's our IP. You can't do that. It's like, well, it doesn't work. We don't care.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, and I'm actually really hoping that this little outage, start that in motion.
Go ahead, are you? You were trying to say something.
I can just see in, 20, 30 years from now, because with the way car technology is happening, and your certificate for all Toyotas is suddenly canceled. Think about it, man. If this happens with vehicles.
There was an episode of Futurama where they started modding Bender, and they were taken to court for it.
Oh, yeah. They overclocked the shit out of him just to win a game.
Yeah. And, it's like the sad part is I could totally see it getting to that point. It's like you slightly modified a product you own without our permission. Ban him! I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
Madman thoughts before we move on?
I'm just thinking, I have this issue with cloud resources at work when something goes down on a program you think should be done locally, and then, wow, I can't do my job for 4 hours. I wasn't complaining because I was still getting paid, but the whole not everything needs to be cloud services, that just hit me with that.
Well, your modern PC, and hell, even most modern cell phones, they have enough processing power that you don't need Google's or Facebook's servers to do everything, or Amazon. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a modern PC, not even like a gaming rig, just a modern PC that you can go buy for like $400 at Best Buy would be what we were running as like a game server or a DNS or a web server 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, Cycros in the chat room was talking about, it's like, it's one thing if your data is gets synced up with the cloud every once in a while, but relying on it to work at all sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And totally agree. I mean, if you're just pulling in data or, maybe making a backup copy of settings or something, and the app is cool and you're cool with that, like the app makes it clear what they're doing, unlike, say iCloud. I can't tell you the number of people with iPhones who are like, I can't take any more pictures, but I have free space. What's going on? Your iCloud is full. What? My what? Yeah, it's copying all your pictures onto Apple servers. I don't want it to do that. Well, it's doing it.
The panic.
Yeah.
The sheer panic.
It's like when they realize
the number of gigs you've got, I'm assuming it's been doing it for a while.
Probably like over 2 or 3 phones, and that's when they realize all of the nude selfies that are on the internet. It's like, you remember how the fappening happened? Just like that.
Yeah. Just like that.
So, next article here, this is from RU sent me this one. It's from abc.net.au. Your Google Home or Fitbit could be used against you in court. If that new smart home device in your bedroom is voice activated, then it's always listening. That also means it's probably often recording and sending information to the cloud. So what happens when a judge or prosecutor thinks some of those recordings might be pertinent to a case? Or that perhaps they want to check information from your Fitbit to see if you were near a crime scene? It might sound dramatic, but experts believe data collected from our devices will increasingly find its way into Australian courts. This doesn't surprise me at all, considering they already do this shit with cell phones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
yep.
Michael Legg, a law professor at the University of New South Wales, expects personal data will be sought as digital evidence. The only real barrier is the creativity of the lawyers and then possibly the cost to be able to access it, he said. Professor Link likens it to the emerging trend of social media posts being used in courts as proof of a defendant's guilt or innocence. While companies like Amazon and Google will likely be resistant to releasing information recorded by their devices, under a court subpoena they may have no choice. It may be that if they need to comply with the law or a legal process, which is what a subpoena would be, you effectively understand that the law requires them to disclose it, and therefore they will, Professor Legg says. As soon as you have a case where high stakes are high and there is a fight for what can be loosely termed an informational advantage, people will go to all sorts of lengths to be able to obtain any sort of information that demonstrates their case, which is more likely to have occurred than not. So this week, Apple launched their latest entry into the smart device market, the HomePod. That's been out for a bit. Is this an older article? A couple of weeks old?
No, I got it. Got it today.
Okay.
The HomePod.
Yeah, they might want to reevaluate their naming scheme there. You know, is that the one that stains the wood tables when you put it on it, or is that, was that the Google one?
I have no idea.
I think that was the Apple one. One of them like fucked up the ink and tables and shit.
Wow. Because Apple is dumb.
Yeah. And you know, again, this comes back to the copying your data up to the cloud, right? If it's your device, if it's your personal device, you know, you've got protection against self-incrimination. You can claim it's not yours. You can say, I don't know the password, or I don't want to divulge the password because, you know, it's something you know. But the moment it's on a cloud server, because this is, I mean, this has been an argument with email for years, right? Is that after so many days, it's like 120 days on the server. It becomes the property of the company that operates the server, not the end user, and therefore they don't even have to tell you that they've given it to the courts.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not saying don't use these things. I'm saying understand what they are.
And deleting it doesn't mean that it's deleted. It just means that it's no longer in your inbox.
That's the truth. So, the HomePod, accompanied by a slick Spike Jones directed commercial, and they add an office worker, played by musician FKA Twigs, fights through a dreary commute home. Looking defeated, she slumps into her small apartment. She looks over at the HomePod and says, I don't care about the fucking. Yeah, and then they talk about the Echo murder charge that we talked about. Yeah, they basically copied the ad verbatim into the article, and I didn't realize I was reading an ad until just then.
Well, I didn't either.
It's like that's what's called native advertising, people.
Yeah.
ABC took a payment from Apple to get that plugged in somewhere into a story.
They can't.
Yeah.
They can't. The ABC are not allowed to make money out of advertising.
That's why they don't call it advertising. They call it native advertising. It's a different thing. It's usually the author.
Might be sending a little email to the ombudsman about that. If that's a paid ad, if you can find it replicated anywhere from another paid site, somebody's going to get in some shit.
Well, it might not be ABC that took the payment. It might be Erica Vowles and the Jeremy Story Carter for the Law Report, which is where ABC got the article.
They're aggregating it.
Well, that or a lot of times these native ads, they don't pay the company directly because, as you said, that gets you in trouble. They'll pay the author. So, so the article speculates that the evidence is not reliable, but that's not really going to matter. And of course, it's eventually going to get to the point where, like, when RU travels, so it's like, you don't have a cell phone? No, I don't have a cell phone. You're lying and you're hiding drug deals. It's like, no, I legitimately don't have a cell phone. I don't like them. Yeah, sure you don't.
Bend over. Seriously, it's not a goddamn. What? I'm getting like a flip phone or some shit so I get through customs without getting fucking anally raped.
It's like when you hear the little snap of the rubber glove, you know it's about to be a bad day.
That is the most dystopian thing I've ever fucking heard. I'm going to go buy a flip phone so I can make it through customs.
Dude, you know, the sad part is I don't think he's
almost
wrong.
Got held.
I don't think he is either.
I almost got held in contempt of court on a jury because I did not hand over my phone to the bailiff.
It's like, I don't,
you
have,
don't have
one.
Yeah. Try saying you don't have one. And then when I had the little issue with in January with the police, they went back and searched my vehicle because they thought I'd stashed my phone in the car to hide something.
It's like, no, I actually don't have one.
I have a phone.
You really didn't need to disassemble the entire car on the side of the road.
I think, they didn't do that, but they pulled the fucking side skirts off and shit. Had a look.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we found all of the heroin and all the pot, but we still haven't found a cell phone. Keep going.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That might be a thing. I might just have to put like a dead old phone in my pocket just to stop having the awkward, I don't have a phone, sir.
So this is where you have some fun and like bring up the little mobile web browser and get the history loaded up with, you know, some interesting websites. You know, things you want them to read aloud in court.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to leave that to your imagination, because that list is different for everyone. But if you're going to go the route of having a mugger phone.
Dude, just all the videos from YouTube that the Finger family, all those creepy fucking ones that they had, just have them.
And, you know, like an Alex Jones video mixed in there somewhere.
Yeah, comparing Alex Jones. Smile. Yeah, Alex Jones might be getting me done for hate speech.
Yeah, I'm like, that might actually get you.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the remixes where they make him sing stuff then.
Yes.
Oh, the entire album of Donald Trump singing victory songs.
Yes.
You know, maybe have some Obama speeches on a playlist in there just to fuck with them.
And Maggie Thatcher, you know, if we're going to do it, you may as well go all the fucking way.
And, you know, make sure you have a bookmark for the Scientology webpage just in there.
Yes.
just really confuse them. Get as many.
Mormon Magic Underwear at the website where you buy it.
Just have as many conflicting memes in there as you possibly can.
There's also a website. Let me see if I can find it. I will post it in chat and not say it out loud.
And Psychros is suggesting deep fakes porn of Angela Merkel.
Well, because there's porn site that is nothing but, so it's very Mormon specific. That is like
a Mormon.
Why?
Specific.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So it's like Mormon missionaries like banging each other or. Like two sets of Mormon missionaries banging each other, or like sexy Mormon magic underwear taking off time. Like it's
dude,
ridiculous.
Do you know Mormon missionaries are all dudes? This is a gay porn website.
Well, no, they're not all dudes. There are some women. But yes,
I don't see
is.
How that fits in this conversation.
Smoke weed every day.
There is definitely some gay Mormon missionary sex going on in this.
Yeah, you must send this link to the creators of South Park.
How did we get on this? Oh yeah, RU needs a fake phone.
I think it's about yep. time to rocket snail way away from
yeah,
this.
Yeah, let's go back. Way back.
But yeah, I can so see cops not just in Australia, but all over the world saying, hi, you had an Alexa in your house. Some dude got murdered. We need the audio of the murder.
And of course, then what happens when it gets to the point? Yeah, we need the information from your Google Home or your Alexa device. I don't have one. Okay, get out the rubber gloves. We've obviously got a serial killer. It's like, wait, what?
Sir, are you familiar with waterboarding?
Yes.
Christmas already?
It's like, no, I have a Google Home device. I keep it in the bathroom. Go ahead. Enjoy those recordings, sir. You earned it.
It sounds like Justin Bieber.
By the way, I go to Buffalo Wild Wings way too often, just so you know.
Oh, man.
Oh, I think I found
let's rocket snail over here to the UK company linked to laundered Bitcoin billions from the BBC. A UK company has been linked to the laundering of 650,000 stolen Bitcoins worth 4.5 billion euros. Oh, I'm sorry, that's pounds. Duh, BBC. A BBC Radio 4 investigation has found. The coins were taken by hackers from Tokyo-based Bitcoin exchange Mt. Gox, leaving tens of thousands of customers out of pocket. So they actually figured out what happened to all the Bitcoins that disappeared from Mt. Gox here. It's not clear who is in control of the London-based firm Always Efficient LLP. That's a name. That's a fucking company name right there. Always Efficient LLP. Limited liability, whatever it is.
You know their holdings are in the Caymans.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mt. Gox operator Mark Karpels apologized to investors and said he was cooperating with the investigation. The FBI has charged a Russian national with laundering the stolen bitcoins. Of course, it's the Russians. Anything you don't like at this point is being blamed on Russian hackers. Mt. Gox matched up those who wanted to buy or matched up those who wanted to buy the cryptocurrency with dollars, pounds, and other international denominations with those wanting to sell bitcoins, and handled an estimated 70% of the world's bitcoin trade. The exchange was originally set up to trade cards from a game set in a world of wizards, spells, and monsters. Enough people know what Magic the Gathering is that you don't have to explain it like that. You know, when it turned its focus to cryptocurrencies, it appeared to be a huge success. Almost half of Bitcoin trading is done in Japanese yen, and there's even a Japanese girl group, the Virtual Currency Girls, which reflects Japan's growing...
God.
Why are they wearing Mexican luchador masks? It's they're made outfits.
Better.
It's made outfits. Mexican luchador masks with little puffy things on the head and the Bitcoin logo across the forehead. Why are they smiling? They should be like, you know, recoiling in horror at what somebody's making them wear.
Whoops, 2018.
I don't care. I truly do not give a fuck. It's the calendar is invented. It means nothing. It's an arbitrary date, people. Oh, well, no, it's based on the birth of Christ. No, it's not. We know for a fact he was 30 in like 12 BC based on the modern calendar.
Math isn't real either.
Yeah, no, the calendar's wrong. So,
God damn it, I'm not clicking on that.
Oh, they found the MormonGirlZ.com.
Yeah.
Now here's the question: is it a porn site or is it anime?
No, it's porn. Both of them.
You just ruined the joke.
Oh, did I? Oh, I didn't get the joke. I don't know.
Girl Z, is it anime? Is it porn? I mean,
is it?
Never mind.
What? I don't know. I'm old.
Dragon Ball Z, Girl Z. I thought it sounded like an anime.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I completely lost where I was in the article. Anyways, they tracked the Bitcoin to this holding group that's currently in Britain. And so they're still investigating it, but... it's interesting that they've been able to find what happened to all the Bitcoin from Mt. Gox. So
they tie it back to anyone in Mt. Gox yet?
No.
Not yet.
I'm saying yet because I still think they did it.
Okay, here we go. Here's the part I cared about. Mt. Gox went from investing in an interesting project to being, I would dare say, a daily nightmare of dealing with the banks, governance people, and people I never knew existed. That's the guy who owned Mt. Gox. How the coins have gone missing was initially a mystery, but now the investigators say almost half of the stolen coins from Mt. Gox ended up at rival exchange BTCE. You know, as opposed to trading them on Mt. Gox, they all ended up in the other exchange. The FBI says BTCE was a hub for cybercrime and helped launder money from hacks, including ransomware attacks of the kind that hit the NHS and other organizations last year. They weren't trading most of that shit on BTCE. They were trading... trying to find out who operates BTCE isn't easy. The exchange claimed to be operated by a British company called Always Efficient LLP. Always Efficient's registered office is in East London, but the address is shared by several other firms, which means it's a P.O. box, some of which are thought to be involved in money laundering. Duncan Hames of anti-corruption group Transparency International said it's likely to be a shell company. Gee, you think people laundering money?
No.
No.
With a shell company?
No.
People
laundering money set up a network of companies to create layers between the original crimes, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, yeah, they're still following what happened to all the Bitcoin from Mt. Gox. I thought it was interesting to follow. But this article, I forgot how much this article meandered. I think I meant to go back and like clean it up. But, you know, that and the whole Japan luchador Bitcoin girl mask thing was just, yeah. So, yeah, most of these transactions for a lot of that stuff, Bitcoin addresses were swapped over IRC fairly easily. And getting on IRC through various means without identifying who you were is not exactly a new game.
The point of IRC?
Yeah. So, yeah, usually they weren't paying for it over BTCE. I'm not going to say a lot of that Bitcoin didn't end up at a place like BTCE, but most people were just handling their own Bitcoin wallets, especially around that the era they're talking about there. So it was actually one of the big arguments for keeping all your Bitcoin in your own wallets and not an exchange, just because of what happened on Mt. Gox. So, yeah, well, I guess all the people in Coinbase learned that one, huh?
Yeah. So. Yeah, so moral of the story, keep track of your own shit and hire Japanese luchador
maids.
Maids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With your Mormons.
All right. Now let's move on to another one that RU sent me and is quite comical. And it also involves these home assistants. This one from Amazon. Amazon confirms that some Alexa units have begun creepily laughing for no goddamn reason.
This actually is frightening.
We'll be the first to admit that online writers can get a little boy who cried wolf about the upcoming robot apocalypse just because robotics engineers have taught their creepy little charges fundamentally human tasks like opening doors, writing bad movie scripts, or brushing off Piers Morgan. Doesn't mean that they're... Anybody can brush off Piers Morgan. You just call him a git and walk out of the room, right? doesn't mean that they're all about to rise up and murder us in our sleep. After all, it's not as likely that any of these bots are actually in our homes right now doing unsettling things their programmers didn't intend. Anyways, The Verge reports today that Amazon's ubiquitous Alexa system has started creepily laughing unprompted in people's homes, which means we should probably just jump to the endpoint right here and start with blasting the damn things with a shotgun. Why don't you not buy them in the first place? Reports of the laughter, which sounds a bit like a creepy little kid ghost, as if it weren't freaked out enough already, have started popping up over the last few weeks from concerned Alexa-enabled device owners, as multiple users have stated they've even been disconnecting their devices to get away from the sounds. The glitch can apparently occur without the machines being prompted to wake, or this is fun when asking them to turn on the lights, which should be a lot of fun during a 2 a.m. bathroom run. You know, you ask it to turn on the lights and it just laughs at you instead.
Better than going, I cannot do that, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh. Like, that's that right there. So having it laugh at me, like, I'm used to fucking people laughing at me. Like, hey, can you do this for me? And people go, no. So, like, that would be normal.
I'm just waiting for it to start, you know, asking, are you still there? In the voice of a high-pitched child.
Oh, Jesus.
I just can't wait for the first mother to come out and go, my child killed itself because Alexa was laughing at him all the time.
No, it's going to be the people who've decided to adopt an Alexa as their child. That'll be next.
No, what's, really? No, this is what's going to happen. Like, all of those are plausible. What's going to happen is a guy is going to end up shooting his wife or his neighbor. And he's like, I thought it was the Alexa and I just got so fed up with it that I was going to shoot it. And I did. Or I thought it was an intruder laughing at me, so I shot it, and I shot through the wall and killed fucking Timmy.
No. I'm going to have to argue with you. Adopting an Alexa is not plausible.
Why not?
It's a thing. You don't adopt things. You buy them.
We're assuming people are rational here, Madman. There are people in Japan who have married their Game Boy with a cartridge in it.
Yes.
I'm like, wait. There are certain unnamed websites where you can buy people.
Yeah.
With Bitcoin, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And the best part about it, they're not hosted in Russia either. United Arab Emirates has a large server farm for this sort of thing.
They also haven't outlawed slavery yet.
Amazon has actually admitted that it knows about the issue. We're talking back about Alexa laughing at people, not slavery. Although it probably knows about that, too. If you've read any of the articles about what it's like working in an Amazon warehouse, they know about slavery, too. Amazon is working on a fix, even though we're pretty sure we've already covered the safest method with the blast it with the shotgun fucking now strategy outlined above. This is from avclub.com, by the way. Anyways, we can only hope the company will get this sorted out soon so the Alexa can get back to its regular non-creepy duties like playing music or listening to everything that happens in our home and collecting data for massive faceless corporations.
I think the laughing's less creepy than that. Can it just keep laughing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm wondering. What, didn't Crowder do something with an Alexa where it was giving really biased answers at one point? Or was that
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, well, so when you ask Alexa a question, sometimes it will go to Wikipedia and read you the Wikipedia entry.
I figured that's what was going on in that video. Or something it, where it was just going out and hitting a database. Because some of the descriptions sounded like things that people were punching into Wikipedia and not...
Yeah, so if you really want to fuck with someone, you, before, change the Wikipedia, and then you ask your Alexa.
The best part about that story is how excited I got at 10 in the morning when I saw it first published, trying to get two more confirmations during the day from different websites to make it real.
I was so happy at 3 o'clock when it was fucking real, man. Whoops, check this out. It's fucking real.
I wonder how they're doing it. This has got to be somebody fucking with Alexa.
Well, so Alexa runs on Amazon Cloud Services, so there's all kinds of ways to fuck with this if you know what you're doing. If you happen to be able to mess with routes at a major ISP, or those ISPs simply have BGP public, and you could potentially reroute if you knew what servers Alexa was connecting to. You could potentially reroute, intercept the traffic, and insert weird commands, like start laughing. The other thing is it could be a built-in Alexa command to, you know, laugh at something, or it could be a way to trigger it. And they were doing experiments a while back, and they figured out that a lot of these smart home assistants can hear commands that are up in the audio range that most humans cannot hear. So you could have malware on a computer or a cell phone that's triggering this.
So Google has taken out ad space for other companies with this in the sub audio.
Maybe. I don't know. Cool. I'm just speculating. But
I've got another speculative.
Could you be a weird ass bug?
This one's less plausible, I think. That it started off with some dude sitting there going, "Fucking that thing just made a sound," but didn't really know that it made a sound. He's just going, "Well, fuck, I think my Alexa is laughing at me." Some stone dude's like, "Fuck yeah, mine was laughing at me too." Fucking puts it up on Reddit. Suddenly it starts growing. All these people are starting to hear these things that aren't actually happening because they're starting to read about it. They're getting hallucinatory things. It's almost like the Salem witch trials, man. Mass hysteria. By the time we get to this article,
you thought it was like the 1920s dancing plague?
Yeah, placebo something like that, man.
Effect for,
if it
for
flew
Alexa.
Through Tumblr and things, places like that, especially these fucking people that just, you know, have to say something constantly. Yeah, that happened to me too. Yeah, that happened to me too. Yeah, my Alexa is like fucking killing my child. I think there could be some hysteria.
Why did you
too.
Give it robot arms?
Well, I'm still in the process of putting an Alexa into a Teddy Ruxpin.
And it's creepily laughing at you as you do it.
Yeah, I like the project might be on hold now until they fix that, because the last thing I need is a Teddy Ruxpin sitting in the corner, like its eyes open, it looks at me and it laughs.
So
hello.
The first
at that
company,
point it is shotgun.
The first one of the companies doing this to actually put out a Teddy Ruxpin with their digital assistant in it is going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because parents will start using it to babysit their children.
You get a license from Pokemon and stick one of these things in a Pikachu? You know what I mean?
Jesus. Yeah.
You get one of these things, a licensing from Hasbro, My Little Fucking Pony? Yeah, you're getting more than little children and parents trying to comfort them. You're getting a whole level of sick, twisted fuck who dwells in a basement.
Yep.
So, this next one is, I think, an exaggeration, but I'm going to read it anyways. It's from digitalmusicnews.com. Or more accurately, I think it's one where they didn't... I think I posted the link twice. I think it's one where the person who wrote it didn't actually understand what was going on here. The internet is full of bad things, malware, phishing attacks, and nefarious ads, and parents are loath to let their kids surf thanks to rampant online piracy and pornography. Comcast Xfinity Broadband Internet Service has a solution for that. It's called Protected Browsing, and it promises to block bad stuff. So this is Net Nanny at an ISP level. The only problem is that a lot of good stuff is getting caught in Xfinity's protective web, like PayPal and gaming hub Steam, both of which were recently deemed threats by Xfinity's protected browsing feature. The discovery highlighted the extreme power that ISPs like Comcast wield over every site and service online, a power that may soon be exploited with net neutrality laws repealed. The issue was first reported by Torrent Freak, which ironically found itself blocked by protected browser. Torrent Freak reported on developments in the torrenting and piracy space. Blah, blah, blah. We use Torrent Freak all the time. Importantly, Torrent Freak merely reports on stuff related to piracy. They are not running a pirate site. Comcast judged them as bad, so they were blocked. End of story. The good news is that these protected sites can be changed. The bad news is that Xfinity users may not know how. The article goes on about this and people complaining and, you know, how Comcast does give you the ability to go in and whitelist things for you for your thing, but you have to know how to do it. So they're complaining that Comcast is starting to censor the internet, right? Well, there's two things. One, this is a web filter that you have to turn on, and I bet Comcast is actually charging a premium to have this thing turned on. And two, they are probably not operating it in-house. It's probably farmed out to some MSSP or some other provider, and they're probably using some software that they sell under another brand name and just running it branded for Comcast, right? It's probably like a Packeteer or a, what's the other big one?
I have no idea.
I can't think of the name now. Anyways, it'll come to me like, you know, half an hour we'll be wrapping up the show and be like, oh, it was, anyways.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a porn block, right? And so they've gotten a little bit overzealous with the word list and accidentally blocked Steam and a few other things. And this article is like, oh my God, Comcast is censoring the internet. Well, okay, yeah, but if anybody who's ever played with NetNanny or any of the hundred of other web filtering things, or if you happen to, say, manage the web filters for a moderate-sized company, you're going to learn very, very quickly the default lists in these filters suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... Cycro saying, I hope you saw the RI bill to block porn. Yeah, they were talking about requiring sites to verify, and you know, so you'd have to have a login to look at porn and stuff like that. That's not going to go anywhere. Too many ways around it.
Yeah.
So,
and really, see, what they need to do is make it public knowledge that you can buy more than one email address from them. So that way you can have your I like porn 73 at Comcast for all of your porn needs without your wife, husband, whatever, mom finding out.
You're assuming that people can practice proper operational security here, though.
That's true. Yeah. I digress. Never mind. Yeah, people are fucked.
Dude, if you have to worry about a significant other or someone that'll get you in trouble for looking at porn, you shouldn't fucking be looking at porn. You're either underage or your wife's a cunt. You know what I mean? If you have to worry because you're looking at porn, you're either looking at the wrong fucking porn and you're going to get in heaps of shit, and I hope you do go to fucking hell and die. But fucking hell, man. It's a joke.
Yeah.
When are these internet companies, ISPs, fucking and overlords going to understand we all passed 18 a long fucking time ago and it's time for them to fuck off and let us be adults?
So
not quite the porn I'm seeing, because this is parents actually keeping porn from their kids. It's what it's marketed for.
Sure.
I want Steam to work, damn it.
So, and also here's the thing. So the article's going on about how much power the ISPs have, right? Well, okay, great. If you use any of the VPN services out there, and there are some pretty good ones, I use Private Internet Access. I know there was a torrent-based one that some people were using for a while. Of course, there's always Tor. You're going to get right around all this shit.
And VPN Unlimited.
Is that another
good
one?
They're really good as well. Okay. Yeah, yeah, they're really good.
Good. So, you know, I mean, you know, I do think you need to seriously consider using a VPN if you're on a shitty ISP. I think that is worth considering. They're good to have, especially like on your phone for when you're out and about. If you got to use, you know, if you got to use dirty Wi-Fi, you know, you're not sure if it's safe or not.
or if you're ever in Las Vegas towards the end of July.
Yeah, you just anywhere. Yeah. You just anywhere you want to be able to later deny that you were there.
Yeah.
So, anyways, and if enough ISPs start playing games, you'll just see everybody switching over to these VPN providers, and it'll either end up being a cat and mouse game of ISPs trying to block VPNs, which would go very poorly for them since so many businesses rely on them, or you'd
so there,
you know, they'd back
a
off.
Law. There's a law in the U.S. that says you cannot block encrypted traffic. The government put that in place because all of the secure data transmission that they use is supposed to be all encrypted. So an ISP can't touch encrypted traffic.
Well, there you go.
So use an ISP, done. Or I'm sorry, use an ISP. Use a VPN, done.
Yeah, if it really comes to it, get a friend on a less crazy ISP to set up a VPN host for you if you really don't trust any of the companies out there.
Yeah.
You know, go drop a Raspberry Pi off at your parents' house or something, right?
Yeah, or set up a Wi-Fi pineapple in the bushes next to your neighbor's house.
Yeah, that could work. Actually, I know several people who they set up DigitalOcean droplets and put a VPN concentrator on them so that all of their torrent traffic would come out of DigitalOcean instead of their home connection.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Nice.
And I've seen other people doing that with Amazon, but I think it was cheaper with DigitalOcean, so that's why I was saying that one. But yeah, and I've known several people who set up routing through Amazon or through DigitalOcean, and I haven't seen anybody do it through Azure yet. For some reason, I don't know why.
I don't know. Could it be something about Redmond? I don't know.
That or, you know, Azure's routing wasn't quite as developed up until recently, so maybe it just didn't work. I don't know. But
that very well could be as well.
But yeah, I know several people who even went with poor man's VPN just using SSH tunneling through things like DigitalOcean accounts. So.
Yeah, there's actually a really good article on, I think it's on Hack5, about setting up a free VPN using a Wi-Fi pineapple.
Yep.
And so the way they were doing it was like they would set it up at their house so they could be at a coffee shop and just VPN back to their house, which would be all fine and dandy unless you have shitisp.com as your ISP.
Yeah, in that case, you want to set it up at somebody else's house.
Exactly.
You know, if you got that friend who has Google Fiber or, you know, some other high-speed connection, and
they will never, ever know the bandwidth loss.
Yeah, just you know, go hide it under the toilet where they're never going to look. And
yeah, plug it in, walk away.
Or, you know, maybe be a sport about it and say, hey, if I give you $5 a month, will you just not touch this thing?
It's not illegal.
Mostly.
You should usually add that in, especially when you're dealing with friends. Be like, hey, you're not going to go to jail for this.
So.
Or you shouldn't. If you do, the EFF will help you.
Which one of your friends is going to fucking believe you when you woke up and go, hey, can I just put this here? Trust me, it's not illegal and you won't go to jail. I just can't keep it at my house for some reason. You know what I mean? Because I don't know if I said that to anyone, they're like, get the fuck out of my house now.
It's like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to be involved.
I have a friend who works for a government agency. When they found out what I did for a living, they're like, your cell phone and your laptop are not allowed in my house. Full stop. Like, and they still, they implement that rule. Like, I know, I'm like, okay, cool. I will text whoever I need to beforehand and then leave my cell phone in my car. Because they get real mad.
Well, I mean, how many of us bring burner laptops to conferences for the same shit?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just got a new one. It's pink.
Well, good. You only have to worry about certain members of certain demographics stealing it.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, anyways, next article up is from Ars Technica. And is kind of funny. So last month, leaked documents revealed that Microsoft would be making Windows 10 S, the restricted version of Windows 10 that can only run applications installed from the Microsoft Store, a mode of Windows rather than a separate version. That change is now official. And Joe Bellafor, the corporate vice president for Windows, has provided further details on how the S mode will work in the future. It'll be available to all desktop versions of Windows. Removing the Windows 10 S restrictions will be free for all. So if you have a Windows 10 S device, they're putting out an update to let you run whatever you want on it, as opposed to keeping it in this lockdown mode. Now, you could still use it, because they're making it into a mode that anybody can use. I don't know why anybody would want to use this mode, because it's pretty crippled and most of the stuff on the Windows Store is shit.
Again, it's trying to keep your children away from porn.
I guess. But, I mean, Windows 10 comes with Edge. So, and actually, the last time I looked, there was some porn shit on the Windows Store, so I don't know.
I'm searching the Windows Store.
Currently, Windows 10 S is treated as a distinct Windows variant. Functionally, it's a specially pre-configured version of Windows 10 Pro using existing Windows features to restrict it to only being able to use store apps and to block certain built-in programs such as the command line and PowerShell. Well, that's kind of disappointing.
Oh, well, okay, wait. So PowerShell is still open. Like, you can still use PowerShell?
No, they blocked it.
Oh.
In Windows 10 S, you could not use PowerShell.
Oh.
Yeah, because they were limiting it down to basically trying to be an appliance and not a computer. Because of the close similarity to Windows 10 Pro, Microsoft offered an upgrade from Windows 10 S to Pro for those who wanted to lift the restrictions. And on some systems, this upgrade has been offered for free, albeit for a promotional period. And others, it's $50. With the next major
just $50.
With the next major Windows update, this is changing. Instead of a distinct Windows 10 S version, there will still be an S mode for Windows. This mode will apply all the same restrictions as 10 S, but will be an option for all Windows variants, not just Pro. But now also Home and Enterprise. Moreover, as a mode, removing the S restrictions will now be free, regardless of which version of Windows it's applied to. Microsoft anticipates that the companies will still offer systems pre-configured to use S mode, because they're probably contractually obligated to. But with this change, anybody who thinks that the S makes sense for the usage will be able to use it even if it didn't come with their hardware. Again, I don't know who would want to use it.
Well, it's only a matter of time before they put out something with even less limited, more limited stuff. And then you can do little microtransactions and get loot boxes that have stuff from a Microsoft store. That would be awesome.
Sadly, I think you're probably onto something with that.
Dude, I fucking know I'm onto it. They haven't stripped all this shit out for no reason.
Yeah, has anybody played with the newer versions of Linux Mint with the Cinnamon desktop? It's not bad. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, if you just want a basic, quick Windows-style desktop, that one's not bad. And then after you've, you know, learned how Linux works, you can go get... you know, you can go into one of the more advanced distros like an Arch or, you know, raw Debian, or, you know, just stick with Linux Mint for the rest of your life. It's fine. Nobody will care. I mean, you might have a neckbeard laugh at you for all, oh, you're on Mint. Well, you know, it's still better than running Windows, right? So, but.
It could be worse. Alexa's probably laughing at you in the corner.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I tell you what.
Beta cuck.
I tell you, I used to, too, the time to set up Gentoo builds and, yeah, most of my laptops that are running Linux Mint this day and age, just because I don't want to fuck around with it and I don't have time. It's like, you know, back when I had days to set up a laptop, sure, I'd go do the pre-configured Gentoo or later Arch or whatever. Never did Linux from scratch. I will say I never did that one. But, Windows is probably not the way to go in the future. Just,
I can't find any porn stuff on the Microsoft Store.
Looking hard enough.
You used to see it on there all the time where it's like dancing girl for your desktop and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So. Oh, damn.
Maybe they've cleaned it up some since then. I don't know. But I very rarely do anything on the Windows. Cycross says type stepsister into the Windows 10 store.
God. Doing it now.
Oh, yeah, that'll find the porn.
It comes up with algebra.
Now, that said, I did have to run the store recently because I was setting up the Linux subsystem on a Windows machine not too long ago, and that's the first time I'd opened the store in years. So,
I don't think I've ever been there.
There's nothing in there worth grabbing.
There are some games like Immortal Sins. That looks like that could possibly be. Let's click on this. Fuck it. Just click on everything.
Just remember, you want to click yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I accept. Click yes. Just, you know, leave the things that are checked. It'll be fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's fine, right? Mature. Mature.
So while he's doing that, the next article is from The Hill.
No fucking duh. I'm sorry, I read the headline.
I was wondering if Madman just found something in the Windows 10 store.
Oh, is this the first time you're seeing this headline, Madman?
Yes.
Oh.
So yeah, let's read. Madman, would you like to do the honors of reading the headline?
Facebook says asking users about sexual pictures from children was a mistake. I don't know why they would think this. I mean, who would have thought, hey, we're trying to get rid of child pornography. Can you send us child pornography so we can make a database of child pornography? To get rid of the child pornography would be a bad idea. I tried to get rid of prostitutes once. You know how I did it? I was like, hey, let's just have a lot of women sell their bodies for sex. And then that's going to drive the price down. So no one will have to pay for sex.
I think he's stuck in a loop.
Prostitutes.
Madman, shut up. The Democrats will fucking want you to run for president if you keep thinking like that. Because you're actually having a fucking genius moment, my friend.
Facebook says that it made a mistake after it asked users in a poll if it should allow child predators to ask children for sexual photos on its platform.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's it. If you didn't have that immediately thought the first time you heard that, you are a fucking child predator. If you didn't go, what the fuck did I just read? You are the fucking problem. You have a child predator.
So I usually don't open...
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Yeah. So I usually don't open the articles because I can't actually be fucked. I opened this one so that I could reread what you just read. And
it's what it says.
Sure as shit, it actually says that.
Yeah.
The odd.
I want to know the percentage of people who answered that question.
The odd admission comes after Facebook prompted some of its users with a survey asking about acceptable behaviors on its platform. How do you go from should we let teenagers post selfies to what about the kiddie porn? I mean, it's like that's a bit of a leap for me. I don't know about you guys. But...
Did we just skip past? Can we post the videos of beating dogs to death with a shovel?
While masturbating furiously.
Yeah, that shit's illegal, but fucking asking people whether, like, you know, the right to ask a 14-year-old for sex fucking pictures. Like, dude. So progressive. So fucking wow, man. Like, god damn it.
Oh, look, Nambla has a page. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That organization's behind it.
Oh. One survey question asked how a user would handle a man asking for inappropriate pictures of a young girl if that user was in charge of setting Facebook's policies. There are a wide range of topics and behaviors that appear on Facebook. One question read, according to screenshots posted by The Guardian, in thinking about an ideal world where you could set Facebook's policies, how would you handle the following? A private message in which an adult man asks a 14-year-old girl for sexual pictures. Users will
wait,
then...
Wait, why does it have to be a man asking a girl? Why isn't it a 38-year-old
Fuck, I don't
woman
know. I'm just reading the article, dude.
Okay. If you can't tell, I've closed the article again.
Okay. users were given a standard set of answers to pick from, ranging from... this content should not be allowed on Facebook, and no one should be able to see it. to this content should be allowed on Facebook, and I would not mind seeing
it. Oh. How about we could call the FBI and let them know that Bob is trolling for 14-year-old Boontang on Facebook?
So... So anybody who answered that answer to the 14-year-old girl question, you just need to go suck start a shotgun.
Yes.
You just tongue the barrel as you pull the triggers there. You'll have to use your toes, most shotguns, unless you have a sawed-off.
Like, I'm a deviant. We all know this. I have been called a cretin. Fuck that. Like,
yeah. A follow-up.
You're deviant to consent.
Yeah.
A 14-year-old doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
Shit, most 30-year-olds don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I'm fucking
agreed.
40 and I don't know what I'm doing.
A follow-up question in the survey asked users who should be in charge of deciding policies around an adult man asks a 14-year-old girl for sexual pictures and gave the options for letting Facebook users decide the rules by voting. No,
oh, no,
that's
this
actually
is how
illegal.
You get Hitler did nothing wrong.
Wrong. It has to be a representative democracy. It can't be a people's democracy. God damn it.
Facebook's vice president of product, Guy Rosen, tweeted that the Facebook's vice president tweeted. So it's sort of like saying Ford's vice president, who was seen driving his Toyota. Tweeted that the company had made an error and that these kinds of actions would always be completely unacceptable on the social media platform. You know, because they're already illegal.
No, but they were fucking probing to see if they could make... They were like, oh, shit, man, we didn't expect that response. We thought they would get a much more progressive fucking, yeah, maybe it is time to sexually liberate children.
That's if they were on a Mother Jones just bulletin board... That might have worked.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they thought Facebook was.
Oh, okay. They remember being able to buy guns on Facebook.
Yeah, they banned
it. Oh, the good old days.
Oh, no. You're selling the Dr. Pepper next to the AR and just asking how much, you know, people want for that Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is, of course, half empty.
Yeah, we run surveys to understand how the community thinks about how we set policies, but this kind of activity is and will always be completely unacceptable on Facebook, he explained. We regularly work with authorities if identified. It shouldn't have been part of the survey. That was a mistake. No shit, Sherlock. That's sort of like saying, hey guys, online poll. I've got this guy tied up here and the shotgun to his head. Which trigger should I pull?
I've seen threads like that.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's usually 4chan and nobody's actually tied up in the basement. Usually.
Oh, God.
Usually.
I've got a way of making money.
It's not like, hey, guys, guess what's in my freezer?
Is it a woman?
No, that would be a refrigerator.
Don't you remember that one?
Q?
No.
No, the dude had a human leg. The thread was awesome. Guess what's in my freezer? The guy had a fucking frozen human leg.
Oh.
It's like, where did you get that? You want a toe? I can get you a toe.
Sometimes you get hungry.
Facebook said in a statement that it has since stopped the survey and this kind of behavior already violates the policies. We sometimes ask for feedback from people about our community standards and the type of content they would find most concerning on Facebook, a company spokesperson said. We understand this survey refers to offensive content that is already prohibited on Facebook and we have no intention of allowing, so we stopped the survey. We prohibited child grooming on Facebook since our earliest days. And I wanted to make a joke about the phrase child grooming, but really, at this point, it's so far gone. Yeah, I always, they always want to work with the police to bring things to justice. Fine.
No, I can't do it. I'm going to drop that low. Never mind, Morphs, keep going.
Okay. You know what? That's enough.
Yeah, did we just use common sense?
Yes.
God damn it.
We did.
This show is slipping.
Yeah, because I had a great grooming one as soon as Morp said, I'm not going to go with child grooming. Like, but you could go, oh, I got to stop there. No.
Yeah. I mean, you could make some jokes there, but really, nobody wants their toddler to look like a poodle, so. I'm sorry.
I was thinking the exact same thing. The child grooming. I'm like a van pulling up. Some extremely homosexual, flamboyant guys get out. Transform your kid into a Power Ranger.
Oh, I know what they're talking about, and I really didn't want to make the joke, but I couldn't help.
Fuck it.
All right, let's do this. All right, we've got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and they're both fairly quick. The first is urbackup.org, and just to read the slug from the website here, urbackup is an easy-to-set-up open-source client-server backup system that, through a combination of image and file backups, accomplishes both data safety and fast restoration time. File and image backups are made while the system is running without interrupting current processes. Let's see. Urbackup also continuously watches folders you want backed up in order to quickly find differences to previous backups. Because of that, incremental backups are relatively fast. Your files can be restored through the web interface, through the client on the Windows Explorer, while the backup of drive volumes can be restored with a bootable CD or USB stick from Bare Metal. Web interface makes setting up your own backup server relatively easy, and they've got some screenshots, and they list it out. But it's an open source, kind of like a time machine, but it's open. But it supports Windows, Linux. I think they've got Mac support, and you can actually run the server on a Raspberry. So you could absolutely go get you like an 8 terabyte USB drive when they're on special, and a Raspberry Pi, and set this thing up on it, and basically have your own time machine for Windows or Linux or Mac. And if the whole system gets blown up, they've got a bootable image just to restore the image from the last backup. So it's a nice system. I've not played with it personally. I've just watched some videos on it, and I probably will be setting it up though at some point for some of my systems. And yeah, it's just a good backup solution where you're hosting your own data. All your data is not getting backed up with Amazon or Google or God knows who else. So. But yeah, if you just kind of want to make an automated backup system, this would be a good way to go. And you could if you wanted to do offlines, you could probably switch the media it's using every once in a while, blank out the server and start a fresh one. But yeah, it takes images and diffs basically, and has a little couple of nice little clients to make it not too terrible to manage. So. Anyways,
that's actually really neat. Like, I might be downloading it now.
Yeah, no, it's a nice system, especially for a free one. Because usually when you get one like this, they're not, especially with the imaging and the proper doing proper diffs and incrementals. It's usually not free, or it's not very good, like the built-in Windows one.
Yeah,
at least Mac comes with a decent one on Time Machine, which is why I was using it as a comparison. But. And then finally, PC Decrapifier. I don't think I've ever had it in Digital Dojo before, but it's just a quick little, it's really a set of scripts that has a whole big list of identified crapware that usually comes in with a Windows or a Linux machine, and they're not a Linux machine. What am I saying? A Windows or a Mac, and so they've got a big list of the stuff you don't normally want, and yeah, you just run this thing. It'll help you uninstall a bunch of it, and you can save a shitty install, which is going to be even more and more relevant with Windows coming with more and more shovelware, which is why I'm probably going to start recommending people learn Linux, because you know, even something like a Mint or a Ubuntu is not... You know, a lot of people are scared of it. It's really not that hard. It's really not.
No, it's pretty easy.
You can...
In fact, that's what I should have done. But
you can stick with... You can stick with the more basic distros and almost never even need to pop up the terminal. So, and if you ever do, it's basically the same terminal Mac users use, and everybody talks about how easy those are to use. So, I mean, come on. But I've talked about doing it before, about maybe trying to put out tutorial videos or something for getting more people onto Linux. But I think I'm going to explore that again because.
Okay.
I'm really serious. It's time to start getting people off of these corporate controlled OSs just because they're getting so stupid.
PC Decrapifier wants me to remove Kerbal Space Program, though.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
It just wants you to be a productive human being.
I usually run it. I usually run this before I've installed Steam. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, it doesn't like Steam either.
It wants you to be productive.
He wants me to be productive, yeah.
So that's interesting that it goes for Steam and stuff. I like I said, it's usually like one of the second or third things I run, and then I start, you know, I go grab init or whatever and start installing my shit. So
oh yeah, it wants me to remove all of my names off of here.
Actually, you know what? I probably should not be saying Ubuntu. Because now that I think about it, they're talking about putting some data collection stuff in the installer for the next versions of Ubuntu. And Mint is based off Ubuntu, so...
So, wait. So, what about, like, Kali? Because Kali's based off of Ubuntu.
No, Kali's off Debian now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Debian. Oh, yeah, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Are there any Red Hat or Fedora-based ones that are a bit on the... I mean, Fedora itself is not bad to use.
Yeah, I'm like.
Of course, Cycross is screaming Slackware in the chat room there. So let's see. You're ingraining bad habits like BASIC did 30 years ago. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to argue people already have the bad habits, and it's an easier transition to get people off of the monitored and, you know, controlled systems.
Yeah.
At least for your home machines. I mean, your work and school machines, you're going to have a harder time getting away from Windows because I don't know of anything that rivals the juggernaut that is Active Directory when it comes to managing fleets.
And honestly, Active Directory isn't bad.
No.
If it's set up correctly and, like, managed. But it's not the horribleness that it used to be. Like, I remember when Radius was, like, way better.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have a problem with Active Directory, and generally I don't have too much of a problem with Windows. I have some problems with some of the habits around it. LDAP's just accounts, dude. Now, Active Directory does group policy and a whole bunch of other things, which makes it really easy to manage fleets of machines, if done well, as Cycross correctly points out. If done poorly, you can make things so bad for yourself. Make the shit so much harder than it needs to be.
Yeah, and less secure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what everybody goes for, is try to get domain admin, right? So
yeah.
Get domain admin, a little bit past the hash, you know. Start bouncing through systems. Oh yeah, yeah. So
be done now. So I have something. Did we ever talk about? So it's a phone app only right now. What's the name of it? Where did it go? Wehe, Wehe.
I don't believe so.
Okay. So Wehe is available on Apple and Android, but it's by the University of Massachusetts and Northeastern. It basically runs a test on your phone of your ISP to see if they're blocking traffic or throttling traffic to certain websites. It's still like it's brand new, so I may or may not, you know, have gone to one of these schools. And so that's how I heard about it. But it's really neat. The only problem with it is don't be trying to like stream video while you're doing it, because it's just going to blast the entire network. Like it runs fairly large tests as fast as they can go. But it then uploads everything anonymously. As far as I could tell, it was all the traffic was encrypted leaving, and but I never like put in my name or anything like that besides it being on a phone, that's linked to me. But yeah, like it looks for a bunch of apps and goes, hey, is your ISP throttling these? It's actually kind of slick.
Neat. I'll have to play with that. Yeah, I just pulled it down on my phone. I'll play with it later. Running that test during the show might not be a good idea.
No, probably not.
So, anyway, so I think that's all we got. Madman, closing thoughts.
I shouldn't read shit RU posts while we're doing a show.
That's a good closing thought. RU, future news, closing thoughts, whatever you want to call it.
Probably shouldn't post controversial shit when we do the show that Madman will end up reading.
Looking at the headline, I'm worried you're just giving him ideas. Syntax, closing thoughts.
Editing pool expanded?
in future news, the Mormons start a revolution and come out the victor in the great porn war.
I can't fap to that.
Yeah, I think you can. Just click that link. It's right
there.
Get off
Morps' lawn, you degenerate fuck.
International Women's Day. We can all fap to that.
Exactly.
Wow.
I put up the boys' site, too, if you want to fap to the Mormon boys as well.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
That's all I got. I'm gonna hit the Pac-Man sound now. Just stop this mess.
Someone was paid to devise this study.